Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Marketing Corner.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay. Today, we're at episode 61.
Hey.
Yay.
Yay.
Welcome back, Jen. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Casper. Good to see you, too. How have you been?
I've been good.
That's
busy.
Good. Busy's good.
Busy's good. And good busy. Work. Very good busy. But we still find time to do the most fun thing in the world, which is record this podcast. Yes. We can see a lot of emojis, but there. Anyways, so today we're going to be talking about something that is not talked about enough, I think, in B2B, but it's product launches.
Yes.
So whenever you launch a new product, whenever you go to market and so forth. And I think the reason for this is that you guys have something up and coming. I don't know if we can tell everything. Yeah, a little bit hush. But we started to talk about it. So take it away, Jen, and say, let's ask the first question here and be saying, like, how do you go about launching a product?
Very great question, and thank you for asking, Casper. So as Casper mentioned, we have launched products in the past. We're launching one very soon, in a month, exactly 1 month today from the time of recording. And I think when we think of a product launch, I think we automatically think of B2C.
Yeah.
You have this big splash and confetti cannons and everything's everywhere, billboards. And what we actually find is some research suggests that in B2B, over 50% of product launches have fallen short of expectations because I think we apply a B2C lens for something that's B2B.
Mm.
So when we do a product launch, we do have several components that we, in the best case scenario, we would love to have. So first and foremost, a press release.
Yeah.
And that would be something that would go out to the media.
Yes.
Under embargo, which we talked about in our PR episode, but that usually means that no one else can talk about it. We offer exclusivity to one particular media because that's what they want. And we keep it hush, 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 and then we go live with the press release. We usually will also have a customer case study with an interview. Usually a customer will probably feature in the press release, so they'll have a quote.
That's pretty cool.
We'll do a lot of partner marketing if we have partners who are interested or with the vendors or whoever is part of that, joint social.
Yeah.
Lots of webinars and things like that, a post-launch webinar, maybe get us on podcasts. So we do a lot of outreach to try to get our person, like in Automundo, it would usually be our CTO because it's a very technical product, but whoever is kind of the face of that launch, whether it's your CEO, CMO, if you're in MarTech or something like that, get them anywhere you can to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the plan that we have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question. So I've done a bunch of product launches in my time. I do quite a few with the United FinTech too. How long in advance do you plan? The big question. Get ready for the truth bombs, people.
Truth bombs. How long would I like to have?
Yes.
Or how long do I actually get?
Yes.
These are two very different questions.
Let's do the first one. How long would you like to
have? I would love to have, I would probably say, depending on how big of a feature, I would like to have like 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, I was about to say, my threshold is usually 3 months.
3 months would be wonderful.
Yeah.
In reality.
Exactly. And I think let's dig into that. Why I have my take, but why do you think, why is it we need so much time in product launches?
Well, I think, again, it depends on what the nature of the product is, but you need time to craft the press release, which needs to go out to media. If you have a PR agency, they need to start feeling around to see who would be interested in getting it. That there's a lot of things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
I think that's, for me, if it was just a landing page and some Google ads and maybe some ads on LinkedIn, that's one thing. But if you're relying on external parties, you really have to balance their timelines and any variables that could come up.
I would usually create these timelines, we're saying we need approximately this amount of time and this thing needs to be ready at this part. And there's a lot of things, the product launch is always, it's one of those things where you only see it when it works well.
Yes.
Right? And you of course also see it when it doesn't work well, but you have no idea all the stuff that goes behind it. And I think, you mentioned a little bit on, but I just want to touch upon it, the building of the landing page, for me, as always, building. And I think just that part, that takes a lot of work. It's not just a normal landing page, very typically, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing is the product and features and stuff like that, but it's also the positioning of that specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, I've had cases where it's this is a completely revolutionary thing. Completely new, now we're entering this space and it means this, and then you suddenly want to do a video where you explain we're entering this new era, blah blah blah, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the planning completely spirals out of control.
Absolutely. And you also have, especially if it's a product, you have to do sales training, you have to do sales enablement, you have to do CS training, you have to do help center articles. So you also have to help your current customers learn how to use this new product, if that's something that they'll be able to use, and find people in the market and position it in a way that would appeal to that market.
Yeah.
Are we looking at SMB? Are we looking at enterprise? Who's going to care? Why would they care? So there's a lot of prep that goes into the messaging. And I think when people are like, just launch it, there's so much more to it than just launching it. You have to figure out who it's for, what they care about, what's going to happen, how is it different. All of that needs to go into the landing page. And then you have to think of the CTA. And that's such an obvious thing. But if it's something that someone can buy for themselves, you have
to pull them in, right?
What's going to pull them in? And then what is their experience going to be like? How easy are you going to have them live their credit card? And we've done stuff where we had a Stripe integration and that didn't work. We didn't know until we had a shit ton of people who all of a sudden weren't able to pay. Like, so there's a lot of things that have to go in and tinkering and testing, and where does the data go in HubSpot, and then who reaches out and what team reaches out. And there's a lot of things happening in the back end to make sure that it is as smooth as possible.
I've launched products in a month or something before, and also less time, but a month is pushing it.
A month is
really pushing it. And just like, I think it's just important to talk about, because like a lot of, there's so many like mismanaged expectations around this stuff, I feel like. Like whenever, like as a agency, I also talk to clients, they're like, hey, yeah, we can just launch, we have the web, like landing page can be ready in 2 weeks, let's go. Yeah, it's not really that easy. but I think this is like managing expectation inwards is really good. Who manages like the process in product launch? Who's responsible for it?
That's a very good question. So again, it depends on the product. So the one we have coming up now is with a partner.
Okay.
So our partner, our head of partnerships, is managing it.
Okay.
To make sure, because we're counting on them to be ready.
Okay.
So that we're ready.
Ah,
and so there's kind of that one source of truth where we need them. If something moves, we need to know that so that we can react. But there's been times, for example, not necessarily a product launch, but like a funding announcement.
Yes.
Which is the same kind of vibe where you're trying to make a big splash, you're trying to get in the media, you're trying to get everyone to know about it, that I've been the manager of that, sort of GTM on that.
Okay.
A little bit easier, but again, you're waiting. Everyone has to sign
those like
papers.
It's really important, but it's easier in the sense that like the funding announcement is usually, hey, we got some money. But you know, like there's no... Yes, you have to be very specific around your messaging and all that stuff. But it's not like you're reinventing the wheel in terms of explaining how to like show a product, how it fits into your value chain, all that kind of jazz.
And you don't need a CS how-to video. You don't need help center articles. You don't need to make sales enablement assets for a funding announcement.
Yeah, exactly.
So and you're not relying on product.
No
shade on my product people, but shit happens. And we get that sometimes things get delayed. Sometimes things have blocks. Sometimes things come up and you're like, oh, we didn't see that coming. That's going to delay us by 2 weeks.
And this is why I believe that you, especially when you get to a certain scale, like you guys, like the size you have or even bigger, like I don't see a well-functioning marketing team or running without having someone in what I call product marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, this is the one of the epitomes of what a product marketing person does.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there's messaging, there's high-level sales collateral, that's all that jazz, but one of the big things a product marketeer, for me, in my world at least, is responsible for is product launches.
Yeah, but they also have to rely very heavily on product to make sure that the product is
doing
what it's supposed to do,
So it's all a tight thing, right? Because like, if the product roadmaps are off, you can't plan 3 months ahead, right? Like, hey, the product team's going, hey, it's going to be done 1st of October, and then... 2 weeks before, it's actually gonna be 1st of December. I was about to say if it ever happens sooner, but I don't think that's ever happened in the history of product development.
Very rare.
It usually happens the other way around. But that collaboration, and that usually sits with a product marketer here, right?
Yeah, the product and product marketing would be very closely tied on that. And then we have that additional thing of partners. If a partner also has to do their, you know, their part of the bargain.
Yeah.
So when there's the more people, obviously, the more complex. And you still need like one owner. So we have the head of partnerships. And this particular one is owning it, communicating to product marketing, communicating to product. And then it's kind of trickling down that way.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's another way of doing. So we kind of touched a little bit in the beginning of B2B versus B2C launches.
Yes.
And there was, we went to this conference held by Quadrant, you can say it better than me.
Quadrant.
That's it.
Yeah.
The Danish consulting. Sorry, guys. And Brian. Shout out to Brian. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Brian.
but they had a really interesting talk about this, what they call the campfire launch.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that concept because it's it's more aligned with B2B because you put so much effort into this one thing, but actually it's the follow-up.
Yeah.
It's the follow-up that really counts.
Yeah.
And that's what they call a campfire. So you think you have to prepare the fire, you light the fire, but then you have to keep the fire burning.
Yes.
And that is more effective for a B2B, which is a
And it's way better to do drips, right?
Yeah.
Like to do small buckets. Like, so you, fair enough, you do a big splash when it comes out, but you have to remember what happens afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen that, I see that fail all the freaking time.
Yeah.
Like all the freaking time. People just launch and they're like, hey, it's just, we launched yesterday. What's happening? What's happening today? I'm like, nothing. We launched.
We launched. Yeah.
We're live.
I mean, so. The only time we've had something, when we, at Dixon, when we closed our C round, which was it was 105 million, which is a big deal.
Big deal.
It's a big deal. And we had everyone kind of in the marketing team ready to share, retweet, react, just to keep the reach going.
Okay.
But that's the only time we've had like a dedicated couple of hours, not even a full day, a couple of hours of like, let's be ready.
Yeah.
In case anything comes up, we can react quickly. We can spread the reach. We can get it out there. But then the follow-up is, how do we capitalize on this again?
I remember when we launched something at Tempify, and I was like, I can't really take full credit at all. I can't even take part credit of this. I can take like 5%. But point being, I think we did it really well back then, because one of the things we did was when we launched something big, we'd also have drip like videos. So we launched big on the day, then like a week later we release, hey, here's how this feature works together with this.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would like take and repurpose some of the content we did from the launch and reuse it again. Because like you can't have all the content in all the everywhere at once. Like it doesn't work like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. But to do that, I imagine your team was building that content
for months ahead.
Ahead of time.
But once you have, like, once you make that plan, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's like about scheduling in. And it's like, okay, this day we talk about this thing we talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
This day we talk about this thing we talk about here. People can't see I'm drawing with my fingers, but that's essentially how we saw it. That worked really well.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we're trying to do. So we, in a previous episode, talked about the commercial product roadmap that we've created. So we have, at least for now, the product plan of when things are going to come out. And then we can reverse engineer to kind of figure out when we need to start prepping what content and making sure that there's no surprises. But there's always going to be a surprise on launch day.
Yeah, exactly. It always exists, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking something like, so when it comes to product launches, do you guys create any form of urgency in any way?
Mm. I have in previous companies where we say sign up today and get a discount in your first 3 months. Sign up today and get, it's usually a discount applied because we're B2B again. We don't really have free things we could send you to say thanks. But we've done that a couple of times in varying degrees of success.
Yeah.
Because again, B2B isn't really something you buy on a whim.
No.
It's got to be something that you've been considering for a while and all the stakeholders are involved. And it's like, oh, well, if we do this now, then we get a discount. But if you can't talk about it until that day, so...
I've had success in creating these like wait lists things.
Yeah.
That's been kind of useful. But like, I think it's more like when you do low ticket SaaS, when it's like, you know, $50 a month or whatever users, then it made like urgency in creating these like wait lists, email lists, discounts, all that stuff. Huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's more hard when you have stuff like yours, when it's like huge enterprise. Like when Templify released Hive, which is like their core, like what the whole thing runs on. And I remember that was like, okay, we can't really create a wait list. We're going to upgrade all customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
And that was actually, a wait list is one of the ways we pivoted. So we did a launch earlier this year where we thought everything was going to be ready for this particular launch and the product was not ready. They shit happened and as it does, and the product was not able to launch. And we had created about 35 different pieces of content ready to go. What do we do with it? So we did a soft launch. So we didn't have the thing to sell just yet, but we did a webinar about what's coming.
Yeah.
We did a reveal at an event because we were already paid to have the event, so we kind of had to do something.
Yeah.
As my grandma would say, shit or get off the pot. We had to do something. And so we created a waiting list for beta testing.
Gotcha.
And then when we were ready with the product, we had this list of customers. Actually, 15% of our customer base signed up for beta testing.
Exactly.
So it wasn't wasted.
No.
It was, and then we could kind of invite them in, and we got product feedback and stuff like that. So we were able to somewhat capitalize on the effort, even though we didn't actually have a thing ready to sell.
And I think that's the thing, right? It's like, so if you're, one of the things I've seen work really well is if you create this sort of wait list and you don't really have a strong offer, it's just like to get first in and maybe give the beta access to the beta, or like get a private demo or whatever it is the offer is. Not necessarily super strong. But one of the things I really liked about that approach was that you get to know who's fucking interested.
Yeah.
Like you get to know, hey, these are the people who actually, the thing they're talking about here sounds really interesting to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your list of people you need to nurture once the launch goes live.
Exactly. So
it's, and the first one to call, right?
Yeah. And it's not a wasted effort. And I think that's the important part. If you have your team mobilized to get something ready, and we work in a very fast-paced industry, right? And you have to be agile. Everyone talks about being agile. Yeah. But one way of being agile is you have to pivot, and how do I make the most out of what we've done?
Yeah.
What's the plan B? So that was our plan B. So have a plan B, folks.
Yeah, definitely. Always have a plan B.
Because it never really goes exactly as planned, we'll say.
I was thinking, one thing I wanted to talk about. Like, so I know this is not like, yeah, I think it's pretty closely, really. But have you ever done anything on Product Hunt?
Yes.
How'd you find that?
Very difficult.
Yeah, right? That's also my experience.
Yeah.
I admittedly, I've done it once. So,
yeah, I did,
you know,
it once.
Yeah, okay. So we have limited experience in this area, which we're happy to admit.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it once. I found it was really hard.
Yeah, it was really difficult because, yeah, and you have to get your product
out there.
I don't
know if it's probably easier. I don't know. I want to say 10 years ago, 5 years ago. But
it was relatively new, right?
Yeah, right. But now these days, damn.
It's ready to go.
Yeah.
You've got to be ready to go.
You got to be really ready to go.
Yeah.
I helped a company the other day when we did a, wasn't a product hunt launch, but it was a launch.
Mm-hmm.
And here we had, when we had everyone on the team reach out to their network and ask them to share about it.
Mm.
And we dropped a bunch of assets for them and all those things, and we prepped them complete. So we had 50, 100 people share about this new product launch on the same day. So I think that was a pretty good approach, but it's nothing like, but their product hunt launch was not necessarily super successful.
It didn't get the big splash that we were hoping. No. We needed it either. It's like, we're on product launch. So let's get back to work now.
Yeah. Great.
Yep.
Maybe that's also like the nature of what I've been doing on Product Hunt. So maybe it's just me. I remember I helped way back when. There was a company, like these Magic 5. Have you ever heard of those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make these like super cool goggles that you scan your face, and then it makes goggles, like just swimming goggles, based on those.
Yeah.
So I helped those guys a little bit in the beginning. Super cool. I can't take credit for anything. But I helped the guys in the beginning, and their product went super well.
Okay.
But I think that's my, like, their product, like Kickstarter.
So yeah.
They did a Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
Not the same, but similar.
Mm. But it's B2C.
But it's B2C,
get
and that's my point.
This
and that's what I wanted to say about it. That was the thing, right? For them, like, was tangible, somewhat tangible, right? And that would really
get excited, and you get something in the mail, and you can hold it, and then you can take a picture of it and tell all your friends.
Exactly.
And then,
And I recently got my wife bought for me, not this Christmas, but last Christmas, 2 years ago, on Kickstarter, Game Boy that could cover all Game Boy games, right, ever. And what you didn't know was like, hey, release end of 2023. It was like 2021. You hadn't noticed. But that's just to show like it feels more tangible.
Yeah.
Like she was like, yeah, I fucking need this. So she bought it super expensive, and now I got it this summer. I was like, yay. Haven't played it that much. But point being is that though with more tangible things, the product launches just becomes more tangible.
Yeah. And it's more exciting because there's something coming for you.
It's a lot easier to create this urgency, right?
Yeah.
So I think in B2B, like my point is probably that like it's harder to create urgency, but once you find it, hammer at it.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's kind of like, maybe in a way like the Dropbox formula. You get this free if you do this and you recommend people, and then like that gets people in, and then
it ties into like the PLG motion.
Yeah,
like that, right?
Sticky.
If it's sticky,
and
but it has to be sticky. That's not
sticky.
Easy for everyone. It's hard for you guys. Right?
Yeah,
like it's probably that's like,
if you put our SIM card into a bunch of stuff, you're not going to go out and get all the SIM cards out.
No, exactly.
but we have, it's a different vibe.
It's a different thing.
Like
Synfor, Fintech, Templify, the companies I worked for before, like, and some of the ones we deal with today, it's like, would really have to dig deep to come up with a good idea for how to do that.
But our product isn't something that someone hears, oh, well, I'm going to 3 months for free. Okay, yeah, sign me up for a 2-year contract. Like, you know, that's
exactly
not what they're
going to
do.
And I think one of the reasons we keep circling around this is also to say, like, when you're talking internally with your CEO and your other stakeholders, you have to manage expectations based on what, like, product and company you're working for.
Mm.
If you are a B2C product, it's a completely different launch.
Mm.
If you're a low-ticket SaaS, it's a completely different launch. If you're a high-end B2B enterprise software, it's a really different launch compared to everything else. And I think it's just like the path you are on that dictates your expectations.
Yeah. There's no one-size-fits-all.
No.
But one thing that people tend to forget is, how do you measure the impact of that launch?
Yes.
And that's something that there's, as you were kind of saying, yeah, it could be orders, but in B2B, you're probably not going to get a ton of orders right away, not overnight, but you can look at things like media mentions. So if you use a PR agency like we do, they have a way of compiling how many media mentions you've had, because that's not trackable. You can look at your traffic. You can look at searches for your product. You can look at Google Trends. You can look at things to, did we get the word out there?
Yes.
Which is probably the objective you're trying to do, is get the word out there. And then one of the things we've also done is in HubSpot, other CRMs are available, but in HubSpot, you can see in call notes. not really if you're our size. Sorry, Salesforce, but you know what I'm saying. No, but you can look up keywords in call notes and see if people have mentioned it, or people have asked for it, or, you know,
send
your BDRs or something you're calling. You can look and see how many people
mentioned. Especially if you have a big Salesforce, right?
Yeah. So that's another one that I think, it's just a little tip for people. There's multiple ways to see whether or not you made the splash.
Yeah.
And the splash isn't going to be MRR overnight. It's not that you're going to wake up and have 32 new demo requests, or which would be a lot for some companies in a day. But you can look at whether you've had an impact in terms of, are people talking about it? Did you get the reach that you wanted?
Yeah.
And one of the other things that was interesting is after a product launch we did not too long ago, someone went to a conference and they said 25% of the people they spoke to knew who we were. Whereas the same conference last year, no one knew who we were. So
that's crazy, actually.
It shows that at least people are like, oh, you're the guys who did the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I think, like, you can always, like, I think we're not trying to downplay the splash.
Yeah.
I think that's important. Like, splashes work. Like, sometimes if you do these, like, hey, I invited Taylor Swift on the stage to present our new IoT solution, right? Like, the Swifty effect.
Swifty effect.
Yeah. That shit works. Like, so don't get me wrong. Like, or Gong, who did, like, the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And we all remembered that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. That stuff works. It's just like, of course, it's hard for us to talk about because we haven't worked at that scale.
No, but I think what we try to do is combining the campfire effect with the B2C effect.
Yeah.
So we want to have that big splash. We would love to have an embargo. But then you have stuff following up. And
exactly.
So even though we plan, like, the press release and we have our website ready, we have stuff ready, we also need to have webinar guests ready to go. We need to have case studies ready. We need to have videos ready. Like, we have to keep that fire burning.
And I think if there's one takeaway I want to share with that's really important, is just, like, make sure you block in time things.
Yeah.
So that's how I did it. And, you know, FNTX, like, there's the landing page, there's the ad creation, there's the PR. And, like, these are blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of the block moves or is delayed, it impacts all the other blocks.
Exactly.
So just an example, if your landing page is delayed, you can't set up your ads because they don't have a URL, and you can't tell your PR company that they need to land somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Suddenly, the whole thing is delayed. Yeah. So planning ahead is really crucial to a good product launch.
And we've had product launches delayed because the company who we're doing it with hadn't done us the logo.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we just need your logo. Stuff. They saw it and sent it. So we're like, we can't finish our ads. We can't finish our landing page. We can't, like, we can have the URL. We can have everything kind of set up, but we can't move further. And that's, I think, the nature of a product launch is you have to have all these pieces have to come together at the right time, and they never do. So just be ready, be structured, be planned, have deadlines.
Try to, like, I think if this is the first time you do it, just be, like, there's always something that breaks. But I think it's also important to say, like, nobody notices usually when it breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like, oh, we were supposed to have two social posts instead of just one. Like, who cares? I wouldn't notice.
Just make sure the URLs are right. Right,
yes.
Esper? Make sure that URLs are right. Don't go on vacation.
On that note. No. Thanks for today, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Good luck with your product launches, everyone.
Yeah, launch away.
Bye.